We've got visitors, and I know we do. We're so happy that you have made the decision to join us today for our worship. We are doing things a bit different this morning, but it is for a reason. And that is, we're trying to talk about these past few weeks the theme of I am the church, taking a personal sense of ownership that God in His plan sees fit, that we need each other in our Christian walk. And this morning we've been trying to carry the theme of togetherness. From the greeting that we had at the beginning to the song choices this morning, we've been trying to emphasize the importance of being together as God's people. And we're going to continue that this morning. We've got a little visual aid that's going to help with the sermon that will be meaningful to you, I think, maybe has already been meaningful to you as we've sung Come Share the Lord, if you paid careful attention to the lyrics this morning as we've sung. Robert Putnam is a political scientist at Harvard. And in the year 2000, he wrote a book where he talked about the dramatic changes that have occurred in American society since 1950. And he was especially concerned with the decline of American community. As technology has advanced and the computer age has become more and more of a reality, people are becoming more and more self-absorbed. We see that now, don't we, with the smartphones, where more and more we're absorbed in our own little worlds, and maybe we're not encountering one another or connecting with each other the way that we should. And so Putman, in his book, talks about the decline of American community, and how more and more we're becoming disconnected from each other. His book has an interesting title. It's called Bowling Alone. Now you might think that's a curious title for such a topic, but in that book, he documents how over the last 20 years prior to the writing of his book, there had been a dramatic increase in people going bowling, but a dramatic decrease in involvement in bowling leagues. More and more Americans are bowling alone. Now that carries over into our spiritual lives as well. More and more Christians seem to be satisfied with trying to do their spiritual walk alone, thinking, well, Christ is what's most important in my life, and I can connect to Him and have a relationship with Him. But Christ, yes, but do I really need the church? Let me be spiritual, but I don't want to get entangled with all of the messiness of the relationships of religion and institutional Christianity. So we see in church life, in religion, a lot of people are wanting to bowl alone, have a spiritual walk by themselves without seeing the importance of the church, of Christian community. So far in this series, I Am the Church, what we have seen in the first two parts is how that the Bible emphasizes how vital that it is that you have personally a relationship with Jesus. That we don't just do church, but that we really are the church in our everyday personal lives and interactions with other people as we go about our daily lives in the world. So it's important to be committed to Christ. But you need to see this morning, it is also important to be committed to the community of Christ. It is equally important. Our lesson text this morning is Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew chapter 18, the text begins, these are the words of Jesus. He says, if someone sins against you, you got a problem, an interpersonal relationship with another believer, then you need to go to that person and try to resolve that issue. You need to try to take care of that problem. If they won't listen to it, then take some brothers with you. Take some other Christian friends with you to talk to the person about the sin. And then if they won't hear that, then take it to the church. Now here's what's so interesting. This is only the second time in the New Testament the word church is found in most of our English translations. The first time we saw 2 weeks ago when Jesus says, Peter, that confession you just made that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, it's on that reality, on that rock that I will build my ecclesia, my gathering, the community of believers. So what is the church built on? It is built on the identity of who Jesus is and who we are as individuals, finding our identity in Him, confessing Him to be the Lord in truth, but also in reality in our lives. But this is the second time that Jesus uses the word ecclesia. Take it to the ecclesia. Now, this is so bizarre at first read because we're thinking, wait a minute, the church doesn't even exist yet, right? The church doesn't even come into existence until Acts chapter 2. So what in the world is Jesus talking about when he says, take it to the church? There's no church to take it to. But he is saying this. He's saying, take it to the community of faith. Because the community of faith is very important. What is the church? The church is a gathering. It's a gathering. He says, tell it to the gathering. The word ecclesia literally means a gathering or an assembly or a congregation. The word is a convening word, an assembly word, calling people to come together for a specific purpose. So you see, you can't be the church without being involved in the community of faith. It's important, yes, to be committed to Christ, but it is equally important to be committed to the community of Christ. That's by definition what the ecclesia is. So you see, being the church is not just about your personal relationship with Christ. It is about your personal relationship to other believers in Christ. And that's so vitally important to realize, so important for us to understand. And the early church understood this. They understood how vital it was that by definition, to be Christ's people, that we needed to be doing our faith not in isolation, but in community with each other. Think about it. The early church in Acts chapter 2, it says in verse 46, that they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine, to prayer, to the breaking of bread, and to fellowship. To being with each other. Now that being with each other is described later in Acts chapter 2 that they went so far as even to meet on a daily basis, breaking their bread in homes, going home to home, house to house, enjoying fellowship, relationship, doing their faith together. And many times that fellowship happened around the table. The Bible describes this community of faith, this gathering of the church, in terms of table communion. Coming to the table. Why is the church important? The church is important because to be the church is to be the gathering of God's people, of us all coming together to sit at the table. But the church is not just a gathering. The church is a gathering that comes together for a purpose. And you might say, well, what is the purpose for the church coming together? Well, if you notice in verse 20, in the first part it says, for where two or three, are gathered in my name. Do you see how Jesus is emphasizing the importance that you not just do your faith alone, but that you get together with others When you get together with other believers, where two or three are gathered in my name, our gatherings are intentional, and there is a purpose behind them. Now you might say, well, what in the world is that purpose? Why are we to gather together? Well, a lot of people today will say, you know, don't go to church, be the church. Now we've already saw in last week's lesson, should we be the church? Absolutely. We must be the church. But to be the church, we must not just be committed to Christ, but to be the church means to be committed to each other. Where two or three are gathered in my name, do you hear the power and the importance of us coming together and assembling as Christians? Where two or three are gathered in my name. Spirituality alone is not Christianity. If you read in the Bible and see the way Christianity is described and explained, you see that Christianity is intentionally communal in nature. God never intended for you to just have a committed relationship to Him in isolation, but instead to express that commitment to Christ in a relationship of gathering with other Christians who have that equal commitment. It is intentionally communal. We gather together for a purpose. Now, you notice the context of this whole passage where Jesus brings up and says, tell it to the church, where two or three are gathered in my name. The context is a context of reconciliation. When we have problems with each other, we need to learn to work it out. You can't work it out if you're not getting together. You see, the church gathers together for a purpose, and that purpose is we are to be a community of reconciliation, a place where mercy is found, a place where grace is found, a place where forgiveness is found, a place where we learn to get along with each other from all of our diverse backgrounds and ways of thinking. We come together upon the united purpose, because where two or three gather, where two or three gather in my name, we come together in the name of Jesus, because He, my friends, sits at the head of the table. We gather here in Jesus' name. We gather here because this is a community of reconciliation. So some people will say, you know what, I want a relationship with Jesus, but I just can't go to church with all those hypocrites. I can't go to church with all those broken people. Well, guess what? If you have that kind of attitude where you don't see the importance of the gathering, you don't understand what it means to be a Christian. Because to be a Christian is not just commitment to Christ, it's commitment to each other. To be a part of a community of reconciliation where we help one another through our differences and our problems, and we're united together, two or three gathering together in Jesus' name. We have come together for a purpose. You know, this idiom is used a lot in the English language. You know, we need to come together and come to the table. I looked up this common English phrase, come to the table, and found this definition. Come to the table is a phrase often used in the English language to describe differing people who are disagreeing, who come and sit together to solve a problem. The church is a gathering, but it is a gathering for a purpose, because we have all come here and we've come to sit at the table together. And why do we come? We come to celebrate the fact that Jesus has broken down all the walls that divide us. The differences of generation, the differences of personality, the differences of nationality and ethnicity, the differences that seem to separate us, Jesus came to bring those down, and He says, all of you, come to the table. and be a community of reconciliation, a community of unity, a community that comes together, two or three, or two or 300, or two or 3,000, come together and sit at the table in my name. No longer celebrating your name and what you're about, but celebrating the unity and the identity that you have in Christ. Because to be in Christ is to be committed to Him, and to be in Christ is to be committed to the community. Despite all of our differences, we come together to the table and we break the one bread and we drink from the one cup and we celebrate what Jesus has done to bring us together. We come to the table of mercy. The church is a gathering. The church is a gathering for a purpose, but the church is a gathering for a purpose in Jesus' presence. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. I am in their midst. I think this is one of the most important reasons here in Matthew 20, one of the most important reasons why that you and I need to be plugged in and connected and active in a community of believers, in a gathering of God's people. Because when we all come to the table, it's not just you and me sitting at that table, but we have come in His midst. Jesus is here. He's with us. Right now. And He's active. Jesus is an active presence here with us today. Sometimes we think that Jesus is somehow a passive spectator when we come to worship. Like somehow He's sitting up on His throne up in heaven, far removed from us, and He's peering down and He's saying, "Oh, I wonder if they're going to get it right today." Or we think He's like a passive consumer. He's sitting up there somewhere in heaven looking down on us and saying, "Yeah, I'm worthy of worship. Bring it. Let me see what you got." Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in your midst. He is active and He is here. What do we do when we come together? We come together to love God. We come together to show God our loyalty to Him, our dedication to Him, our praise to Him, how we want to be committed to Him. We don't just come for that, though. We also come because we want to love on each other. We want to encourage each other. The more we see the day approaching and drawing near, we want to encourage and stir one another up to love and good works and encourage each other to continue in that commitment. So we come to love God. We come to love on each other. But you know what else? When we come together, when we gather, God is doing something here among us. He is active. Jesus is here and He's loving on us. He's embracing us. He's saying, "You're my family. You've gathered in my name. You're my people." In fact, the Old Testament puts it this way in Zephaniah, God sings over us. God is here in our presence and He is active. Jesus is here. He's present among us and He's joining with us in this celebration. As we've come to the table, we've come and gathered. We've gathered for a purpose, a unity, a reconciliation in His presence. He is here among us and He's active. And He's here. He's caring over us. He's embracing us. He's loving us. He's singing over us. He's engaging us. But He's not just active. He is present. Jesus has come to the table. And that is an astounding claim. In the Old Testament, the God of Israel would descend down in His Shekinah glory. The Jews called it the Shekinah. His presence would descend down, and the visible presence of God would descend on the temple. And the God of Israel was among them, among the people. And Jesus is making an astounding claim, like in Matthew chapter 12 when He says, something greater than the temple is here. Speaking of Himself, Jesus is here among us. When we assemble together, when we gather together, we're not gathering together and looking at a distant God somewhere far away in the heavens. When we gather together for a purpose in His presence, you need to know He is right here. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12, quotes from Psalm 22, and he puts the words of the psalmist in Jesus' mouth, and he says, here's what Jesus is saying to you and me. In the midst of the congregation, he used the same words, in the midst of the congregation, I will join with my brothers and sing praise. Do you hear what the Hebrew writer is saying in chapter 2? He's saying when we gather together, He is here with us. And when we're singing praise to God, He is here in spirit and He joins in the chorus. And He sings and celebrates God as well because He is here. He is present. He has come to the table. The church is a gathering for a purpose of unity, the one bread, the one cup. We come in His presence. He is here with us. And that is why we call it communion. To commune with someone is to come to the table and enjoy presence, to enjoy someone's interaction, to enjoy the relationship, to celebrate the family. When we come together to celebrate that, but Jesus joins us at the table, friends. He is here, and He's communing with us. I think there is no place in all the things we do in our worship when we gather, there is no place where the importance of Jesus' presence is so seen as in the Lord's Supper. And so the men that are going to be serving communion, you may go ahead and take your places now. They're going to be preparing to serve us communion as we are here in Jesus' presence and we have come together at the table. As they're preparing to serve us, let me share a passage with you also from Matthew. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 29, listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says, after He institutes for the first time this communion feast, He says, I will not drink of this cup again until I drink it with you fresh in my Father's kingdom. Now, I know it is true. There's a sense in which the kingdom of God will not be fully known until we all come to the final banquet table in heaven and we see Him in full glory and in full presence. But I also realize, and I hope you do, that if you are in God's family now, you are in the kingdom. And so there's a very real sense in which when we come to the table and we celebrate what Jesus has done to bring us together, and we gather in His name, and He's in our midst, there's a very real sense in which Jesus Himself is taking of the cup, and He's drinking with us even now afresh, celebrating the fact that we are in His kingdom. Because He is here, and He is present. You see, the Lord's Supper, communion, is not just a memory of the past. Communion is not a place where Jesus sits as a disinterested, disengaged spectator. In communion, Jesus joins us here, and he takes the bread, and he takes the cup. He joins us here. We break the bread, we drink the cup, and we are a family at which, in which the Lord is head. And so we come to the table and we commune with the living Christ. Let's say a prayer together and then we're going to be served the bread. Would you bow with me? Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, today we have gathered in your name. We have come to the table. And we know that you join us here. And so, Lord, we celebrate your victory over the enemy of death. And today we celebrate our united hope in the fact that you loved us enough to offer your body for us. And so we come to the table. And we share this bread with each other, and we share it with you. We come to the table today as many in number. But you, because of your body, you have made us one. And so, Father, we come in the name of Jesus to partake of this one bread. And in so doing, we proclaim our unity to all be joined at the table as your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Our Lord, thank you for coming down and dwelling among us. And as we today gather in your name, we join you at the table and we drink of this cup of your covenant. And we rejoice over what that cup represents, the forgiveness of sins that has been poured out for many. But we are humbled by what that has required. As we drink this cup, we know that you poured out your own life blood as a payment for our sins. But Lord, we know that you won the victory over death, and we know that you are alive forevermore. And now we join you, and we know that you join us in your kingdom, for we are the kingdom of your people. And so we, knowing that you are our King, surrender to your lordship and your reign and rule over our lives. Thank you for drinking this cup. Thank you for drinking with us today anew in your Father's kingdom. Amen.
As we prepare to take up the collection, I'd like to read Mark chapter 12, verses 41 and following. And he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury, and many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury, for they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on." And don't you know that when he looked on that gift, it was more precious in God's sight than any of the gifts that were given. And he does the same when we give sacrificially to him. He looks on our gifts and is honored and praised by us through what we give. Let's bow together. Father, we're grateful to you for just the ability to give, that we can offer to you a gift of love, a gift that might be used to accomplish your will here on earth. We ask blessings upon those who are giving, upon those who are taking the money and putting it to good work, that it might cause praise and honor and glory to you, our God, who loves us more than we can understand. It's through Jesus we pray. Amen.
I have a couple of announcements that we need to bring to your attention before we dismiss our gathering today. We have had several deaths that have impacted our church family of late. I think most of you probably got the phone tree message regarding the sudden and unexpected death of Steve Dunbar on Friday. And we actually early Saturday morning. And we really want to express our sympathy and our grief to this family in their time of loss, and want to express to Donna and Amanda our heartfelt sympathy at this time. We don't yet know the concrete arrangements at this time. We do know that the funeral services for Steve will be here at the building, and they're making those final arrangements with the funeral home today. But we believe that the time will be Tuesday, with visitation from 11:30 to 1 Tuesday, the funeral to follow at 1 p.m. on Tuesday. We are needing singers. They have requested we have funeral singers, and so if you can help us out with participating in a group to sing some hymns for this family during the memorial service. We need as much help as we can get in the middle of the day like that. So if you can help us, please be here at 12:30 on Tuesday and gather in room 206 over here to practice the songs that you'll be singing for this family during the memorial service. Also, Jean Lowry's mother passed away within the last few weeks, and they have been waiting for an appropriate time for a memorial service, and that service will be right here Saturday at 11 a.m. And Jean, of course, is one of our members here, one of our relatively newer members, and her mother attended here too when she was able. Genevieve DeGrasse was her name. And so if you can be here, we want to encourage you to be here to give comfort to Jean and this family for the funeral for Genevieve DeGrasse, again, Saturday at 11 a.m. If you can help in any way, this is what being family is about, is that we help each other. We rejoice when there's something to rejoice, and we weep with each other when there's something to weep about. So if you can help our family members during this time by being present or by serving in some capacity, we encourage you to do so. As we've come together today, there might be some spiritual need that you have. For that reason, we have shepherds of the flock to tend the spiritual needs of the gathering here. So we're going to sing a song together. Glenn's going to lead us in What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And as he leads that song, we're going to have one of our shepherds down front and also some privately in the library. Just through that door there, you'll find the library, and there'll be shepherds there if you need private prayer. If they can help you with any spiritual need, we encourage you to respond and to seek that assistance as we all stand and as we sing.